Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to the month of March. March 1st, 2024. What an awesome, awesome blessing we have received from the Lord, for he has given us life and strength and breath. And he felt we were worthy, 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 worthy. And he was the worthy one. And so we praise and we worship him and we thank him for another day, a glorious day, a day that he has set up to with everything we need, just waiting on us to come through. And we come through in the name of Jesus, according to the plan and the will for our life through the promises of the Lord God Almighty. So we thank you for coming this morning and sharing with us. You're such faithful, faithful fellowship of learners, your faithful learners. I am so grateful for your love and your presence. And we have all enjoyed the journey through the various authors who have shared insight into something relating to our journey in this space and time and place. And so we're very grateful, and we pray for those authors. We pray for those who are yet writing books and penning books and are to be creating the books for the generations to come as well as for ourselves. And so we are looking at a tongue, the creative, a creative force by Charles Capp. We are journeying through, we're about midway through the book in chapter 6, where we're looking at watch your words. Looking at the power of the tongue and the authority we have been given so that our tongue has power. This authority has come from God as he has created us. And so we have seen how the tongue and the words that come out of our mouth create the circumstances or the atmosphere. It doesn't create the circumstance, but it creates the atmosphere by which we journey through in this world. And because this world not controlled by God, but under the control of the enemy to God, then as we journey through, it's just like trailblazers or what is this, waymakers, and you're going through some tangled jungle that haven't been traveled before, and you got to cut down the bushes and the leaves and the vines that are all tangled up and meshed in front of your way, and you have to clear a path like with a machete. You got to just cut it off so that there's a path for you to walk through. Well, that, if you think of that machete, those are our words. And the words that we use is what will make the path that we follow either pass abundantly blessed, or it will leave it in the control, the tangled, confused under the power of the enemy to impede our way, slow us down, cause you to stumble and not see where you're going. It will have you go in the wrong direction. So just that visual of going through a jungle, even though none of us have gone through a jungle, but we've seen movies and pictures of it. And anything that is by, it has not been prepared for humans to go through it, like a jungle. And so what we look at is a created environment that has been really distorted. So it's not neatly planted in rows and columns and aesthetically beautiful. It's just a tangled mishmash of all kinds of vines and branches and leaves and bushes and grass and trees and stumps and bugs and critters and everything that are hard to discern when walking through. But that machete, clearing as our words will clear the atmosphere of in the path that we are to journey. And as it clears the atmosphere, it creates a different trail. So now someone that comes behind you see a road that has been been walked on. They can follow a path. So it's no longer a confused wandering around, but there is have been established a way to get from where we are to where we're going. And as we use that path, we are taking advantage of those that came before us and established a beginning of it. And then remember, even when in that jungle situation, it needs to be continually used in order for it to be even the more clear and clean and perfect. So we go from a tangled, entangled forest floor to a three-lane highway that has been paved. And so it's that kind of transformation that our words will have in the atmosphere that we're walking through. And so we want to be able to watch our words. Our words need to establish that which will clear the way, make clear the path, that which will shine a light on in the direction that we should go and see the things that are in this path that might be a hindrance to us. So we have to watch our words. Now, we're given an understanding of the fact that there is only two ways, and that's God's way, and the way of the enemy. Uh-oh. Hello? Can you hear me? Okay. Hey, man, I don't know what my phone is doing. However, we will continue. And so we want to watch our words. We understand that our words have to be based on something, to be based on something. If it's based on nothing, then I want to say it will be like babies. When a baby goes on and on and on and you don't know what they're talking about, okay? They're just kind of babbling sounds, okay? So it has to be based on something. And for us, we realize and we're coming to understand and to be taught and the revelation given to us that it must be based on God's word, or it's going to be based on the word that the world has established, the culture that the world wants to promulgate in our life, in our path, that path to stay confused and entangled with all kinds of things, with all kinds of hidden things that will hinder our walk. So when we look at this, we understand that we have gotten the ability through the authorization of the Word of God, and that we were created in His image, and those things attributed to Him, He has given to us so that we are His representatives in the earth realm. So we must watch our words. We had a retreat at one point, and one of the things that was shared during that retreat was that there were over 600 sins. And so a lot of people who read each one of the sins, you know, some they agreed with, but a lot they did not, and they didn't believe them. They didn't believe that they were in the Bible, even though there were references to it. But that's because we have been walking in the unknown, and we had not, we weren't aware of it. But God made sure that we were aware of it because we were beginning to establish an atmosphere that was going to provide a path, a trail for those who wanted to journey in the path He had created for them. And so when we learned some of those or became familiar with some of those sins, we see a lot of them had to do with the things that we say. And so one of the things they shared was, you know, it was a sin to debate, that debating was a sin, foolish jesting, you know, telling a joke and things like that, that's a sin. That's because they're idle words. And because we have this awesome authority, we have to watch the words that come out of our mouth. There was a movie, one of the characters was saying to someone that didn't speak English well, he said, "Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?" So we have a responsibility saying the words that are coming out of our mouth, because they need to create an environment of holiness, an environment of faith, an environment of trust, an environment that's shaped by the promises of God and our faith in those promises. That's how we tell the world of the goodness of God, of the power of God. That's how we praise the Lord God, is to use the words that glorify him, that lift him up, that give the world indications of who he is. And so we are so grateful that we are understanding now the use of these words. One of the things the author does on a great level in this particular parts of the book, he uses an abundance of scripture, an abundance of scripture, so that we can understand what the Bible says about the words that we say. And so it says, oftentimes what we have gotten off of faith without God's word. So it's like when they looked at that list of sins, some they accepted, they had faith in it, and some they cast away. It was, "No, I don't think he really means that. I don't really think you get in trouble with idle words," okay? And yet we can see even the world takes part of the standard of the word of God, and they tweak it to suit themselves. When they say, you know, like the idle hands are the devil's workshop. And so just like with idle words, they're going to create something that we may not have intended for them to create, because the words didn't have purpose, nor was their foundation the word of God. So when we start believing what the world says, or choosing the world's word or definition of a word, or the world's words, then we are no longer walking by faith. We are no longer believing the things that God has said. And we understand that we are releasing, because of this ability and power we have, we're releasing the ability of Satan to infiltrate our life, our path, to have a he has a contact with us. That's not the word I'm looking for, but he's able to intercept our life and cause it to go in a different direction. So fear activates the devil. But faith brings God on the scene. Before we ever make a confession of what we need to ask, who said that? What is the source? And that's a hard thing to do when oftentimes we speak, and it says be slow to speak and slow to anger and to listen. And when we don't, then we don't always examine what we're going to release before we release it, and we're creating something that is not what we should be creating. We're making that path even more confusing than it was to begin with. And so when he tells us, before we say something, you know, before we make a declaration and a confession, and we have this thing at laborers, you know, Every month we have the decree and declare, you know, and for some people it's just mundane. Yeah, we do that, yada, yada. So we have to understand the power of that tool that God has given us to make a confession. Because the truth is, if we do not make a confession based on the word of God, then our confession is going to be made, is going to be based on the world's definition of faith. So how many times do you quote the world and not the word? You know, how many times do you say, oh, this will never work? That is not something that should come out of the mouth of a Christian. I can do all things. Well, I can't do that. Or this is a failure. It's always, there's no need of me trying because, you know, and the world will tell you, you know, once or twice and then just forget it. You'll never do it. Well, that's the world's definition, and those are the world's words. And so we have to ask, where do those words come from? They do not come from the power and the promise of God. So we give Satan this ability to exercise over us the ability to deceive us by, I'll say tricking us, but into tricking us to use his words, to see it his way, to respond to something based on, well, for, you know, everybody is doing it. Well, that's what everybody says. Or, you know, these are things that we say that are idle words that give the ability to Satan to form the atmosphere in which we live. And what happens when we give him that ability, then all of the negative emotions and all of the negative thinking comes from his source, not the positive source of the promises and the word of God. And so when we are not looking at the word of God as the foundation of our words, then what we are saying is from the enemy. And yet, the Lord wants to remind us that throughout this particular chapter of Watch Your Words that we stop God's ability to transform our life and to transform our thinking and our heart's desire. We stop his ability to do that when we have given that ability over to the enemy. When we say, well, Lord, this is just getting worse. How can we pray a prayer, Lord, deliver me, and then say it's getting worse? My oppression is getting worse. We have to believe what we have decreed. We say that he can and that he will. Then we, when we pray it, we must believe he will. And so that has to be our testimony. That has to be our confession. Maybe it was just about a time for manifestation, and because we don't see it with our natural eyes, then with our natural eyes, we declare the victory for the enemy. We declare the victory for the devil. And it says, and so often, we're just one inch before getting to the manifestation coming from heaven of the words that we want to establish. But we have to remember that when we look at, when we lean on and depend on the things, and we come and been convinced by, that's it. Once we've been convinced by what we see with our eyes, then we have been deceived by the enemy, and we have given him the ability to control our atmosphere, our environment, our emotions. And so we will find that so often in just a roller coaster of things where we have to be able to halt the action and the forward moving of that which is not of God, did not come from the word of God, and then give it back to the enemy, and then give the word of God the decree and declaration of our mouth, understanding what the word of God has declared to us. So the word says, forever, O Lord, thy word is established in heaven. God's word is already settled in heaven. And what he tells us is, he says, so I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He didn't say kings to the kingdom. He said keys of the kingdom. Whatever thou shalt bind in heaven on earth, he shall bind in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. The Spirit of God spoke and said the problem with the church today, with our faith life, is that most of us are binding the wrong things. We're binding them by the words we say, I'm broke, or I don't have any money. These are the devil hindering us. The devil just doesn't want us to understand the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is rich, and he will bless and prosper me and add no sorrow, no matter what it looks like. I think he even said, well, there was another writing that said, as he watched his car get repossessed, it did not change the decree and the declaration of his mouth that he was rich, that in Christ he had everything he needed. And as we continue to say that, I don't know how many millions of dollars he has now, but because he didn't allow what he saw to change his decree, what he was decreeing, then he was able to bind on earth what was already bound in heaven. The word of God is established and settled in heaven. And the word of God says, you are. The word of God says, God will. The word of God says, and so it shall be. And so it is bound in heaven. Now we have to loose it on earth by releasing what heaven has already established and giving that authority over our environment to the God of glory. Now we have to understand because we have released Satan to come in and put this stuff over us, we have said with our mouth, he comes up behind me when I don't know it, and he just fouls up the works. The enemy is messed up my plan. Then you're giving the ability to create to the enemy, and your plans will be messed up. But when you tell the confession out of your mouth is that God has a plan for me and that it is glorious, that though the plan of the Lord towards me is victory over the world. When we declare that with our mouth, then we have created that creative power of the tongue. We have created an atmosphere. We have brought down the atmosphere of heaven on earth, and that key to the kingdom, releasing what the kingdom has. You got the key, use it, unlock the door. The key is your tongue. It is what you confess. It is the creative force that you have understood how to corral up and use to decree and declare a thing based on the word of God. So plenty of scriptures that says God is more powerful than the devil, and he will put us over every time you act by his word. The world overcoming faith dwells on the inside of us. So when we find ourselves in a situation, a circumstance where it looks like the enemy is so bold and ugly in our face, and I had an example of being exposed to some demonic witchcraft and that sort of thing, we have to stand. It says, for the victory, that overcome is our faith. We stand on the faith of the word of what God has said. Satan is not all that smart. Can you imagine a fellow still fighting when he's already whipped? That's not very smart. It says, ye are God. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So when you believe that, when you stand on that, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. You are born of God. You praise the name of the Lord, and you stand on that confession. It says, by the blood of Jesus and the word of their testimony, the word of their mouth. Did you notice that word overcome? The back of the Bible, I love it when the author says the back of the book. He's talking about the book of Revelation. He says that the back of book says, book of Revelation, you win. Praise God. Establish that and quit agreeing with the devil. Quit prolonging our own agony by sabotaging our walk with the words of the world. Don't sabotage your walk using the words of the world. And when you are about to say a thing, if you're about to say a thing, stop. Where does this come from? Is it coming from my flesh, or is it coming from my faith? My faith in what God says, even that's the faith that doesn't see it, doesn't feel it, but believes it because God said it. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And idle words means non-effective and non-working words. Anything that is not from the word of God is non-effective and non-working on behalf of the kingdom. Now, it does work on behalf of the culture of the world, and the only reason it works is because everybody is in that environment. So it appears that it's working because everybody is doing it. It's just that everybody is losing. That's the part, that people don't go to the next phase of what our lives are going to look like, and they are going to be judged, and then there is an eternity. And so he says, we are going to have to watch our words. We have been saying plenty of those idle words, and they were not working for us. They are working against us. They are not working on behalf of the kingdom of God. Some folks are going to come to the judgment seat of Christ, and they are going to be expecting a reward. And the Lord is going to say, now look, here's what you could have had. And it's going to be amazingly glorious, absolutely unbelievable. But now the Lord is going to say, but this is what you get. And the Bible shares in Revelation that he will wipe your tears away. And I always wonder, what does that mean? And if I'm in heaven, you know, maybe it's the tears I had on earth. But I think that maybe what it means is those tears we will have when we realize what we gave up and what we gave it up for. And it is so minuscule and minute and yet so offensive to God, and bringing us to a place where we are shamed when we get to glory to give our crowns to the Lord God, and we have none. And that is going to be the sorrow in heaven that he's going to wipe away. He will comfort us to know that it's okay. But why not while we're here now learning? Why not? And he wanted us to, he put it into the heart of Charles Capp, you know, remind my people of what this thing is going to look like. remind them of what it is they're doing, and I don't think they realize how much damage they're doing. They do not realize how this will affect their eternity. Not that we won't go to heaven, but it really will greatly affect the forever part of our life. It lets us know that by saying and giving away the words of our mouth to the faith of the world, or it's not, well, it is faith in what the world says as opposed to what God says, that we are agreeing with the devil. It's true. We don't have the things that we say we don't. We say we don't, you know, the ministry is not thriving, but say the ministry is. We say that I'm going to bless, you know, all things concerning you. So don't say that they're cursed, because God said that they're blessed. But how many times do we say that? Oh, look at there. This is not good. It is not good. Well, God said he created all things that are good. Now, either it is not, it could be not right according to his word, okay, but it should not be not good just because it's what the way it looks like to us. Because I don't think much of Christ's life looked good until the resurrection. Because other than that, it was full of what we would say in looking with our natural eyes. He was hungry. He was sad. He was crying. He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was crucified. He was there. All of those things didn't look and like a positive thing. But that's because that's looking with the eye. And we have to look with the faith in the words that he was saying as he was going through this earth. And that is why he came. And understanding that's the reason he came. If that's the reason he came, that God will establish, has established it in heaven, and it will be established on earth. We have to thank him. We have to thank him for the authority of our words and for the understanding that we're getting of the power our words have. Justified or condemned by our words. It is our words, not the word of anybody testifying against us, but it's the words that have come out of our mouth that we are going to be judged at. Matthew 12:36-37 says, "For by thy word thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And that justification is not that we can say something to make ourselves right. No, but what we say can make us right, because if we say it based on our facts, that our faith in Jesus Christ, then that is what justifies us. But by the words that thou, by thy words, I will be condemned. So if you say nay to what God has said yes to, then you are condemning yourself, and you are sabotaging to growth and development. You're sabotaging your eternity. You are going to be the greatest enemy to yourself because of the words of your mouth. The word of God says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou may be justified in thy saying, and mighty is overcome when thou judgest." In other words, he said that if somebody comes up with that old unbelief dripping like molasses off of a tree, "Oh, I don't believe that. It isn't going to work this time. Let God be true and let man be a liar, that thou mayest be justified in thy saying and might have overcome when thou judgest." When you get to heaven, you're going to be judged on who you believe, God or man. Man says it's getting worse. You can't do that. I tell you, it's not just the world that says that. There are some Christians that sometimes sprinkle with fear, rolling in doubt, stuffed with unbelief, and insulated to the word of God. They say it. They will believe everything but the word of God. Some will swallow the enemy's biggest lie, but won't believe God's simplest truth. They will say, oh, yes, brother, I know that's in the Bible, but, yes, I do understand. The word says work, and they are saying it won't. The word says it works, and people will say, but that doesn't work. How many times has someone said, oh, this is so hard, it is so hard? And the word says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So it's not hard, it's easy. But that's when we have faith in what Christ said. So we can't just take that one thing and have faith in it, but we have to speak the things he said. Because he said, seek me first. He said, come unto me and learn of me. I will teach you how to use your words. I will teach you the power of your words when you base them on my word. The word bringeth health. We have to confess the word. Whatsoever you shall confess, whosoever therefore shall confess me before man, him I will confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. So as you confess him and what's true that he says, and make that decree and that declaration of what he says, believe that decree and that declaration of what he says. Repeat it on every instance that something will come up that doesn't look like what he said, then you repeat the decree and declare that he has professed to us. So we have to, when we start praying and saying, Lord, I'm praying, and it's not working, or it's that's a statement of unbelief, and you have released faith in that unbelief. You believe that unbelief. Jesus will not go to his Father and say, Father, he's prayed, but it is not working out for him. I'm praying for him, but he's still out there acting crazy. Then you just discounted your faith for him, and your word will work. Your word will establish it on earth as it is in heaven, because you have promised. You said, if I ask whatever in the name of Jesus, that you will bring it to pass. If I ask, seek, and knock, that it will be given to me. And those are the confessions that we must speak. God's word is our wisdom. We find it in Proverbs that there are some things that we have stumbled over and have not looked upon because they are in the Old Testament. You see, a lot of times people say, well, you know, the Old Testament is just history. You know, and again, that is something else that the enemy wants to trip us up on, because and deceive us into feeling I'm not doing that, or I can't understand that. I'm going to the New Testament, but he gave us the Bible, both testaments, because both of them are necessary to give us an understanding, not just of the authority that we're given, but also of how to use that authority. And so it's in Proverbs where it says, my son, and that could be my son or my daughter, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto thee that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keeping your spirit or your heart with all diligence, for the force of life comes from it. The word heart represents And it refers to the center of man's being, which is the spirit. Here, the writer of Proverbs, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying the same thing that Jesus said in Matthew. Put away their, let me see, is that Matthew? Wisdom in 1 Corinthians. But he says, Okay. The good things come out of your heart. Put away from thee a frowned mouth and perverse lips put far from thee, or speaking contrary to what God's word says. For the word is the wisdom of God. God's word is his wisdom. When we speak contrary to God's word and say, it's not going to work, I pray, but it is not working out, that perverse speech, that is against the word of God. So we often read those things, let not perverse language come out of your mouth. And we think foul language, filthy conversation about, you know, immoral things. But perverse speech is also anything that doesn't agree with God. It is perverse. It is something that's infected. It is something that is twisted and it's not true. You have to watch our language. He says, thou art snared by the words of thy mouth. Understand this. Words work. They will work for you just as they worked for Jesus. They are working for you, or they'll work against you because he's given us that authority, whether you realize it or not. So we have to realize the power of the words that work. Death is in the power, the pen of life or death is in the power of the tongue. I think if we just looked up all the scriptures in the Bible and gathered them in one place about the tongue and the mouth and the lips, the things that we say, we will be given an enormous picture of the power of our conversation. And I believe we would be more mindful of the things that we say. The disciples said, the things that the saints said in the word of God. I was thinking about Peter and what he declared about Jesus, and that came out of his mouth. He said, you know, some say this, some say that, but Peter said, he said that he was the Son of God. And Jesus told him, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. It had to come out of the heart of your spirit, and it came out of the heart that God had written upon, written his truth in. The mouth is of a righteous man is a well of life, a well. That's a place where you draw water out of to very live, to live. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The fear of the wicked shall come upon them, but the desire of the righteous man shall be granted. Again, it's granted because the desire is expressed. You know, he will give you the desires of your heart as you express them to him. The lips of righteousness, they know what is acceptable. What is acceptable in our speech. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the frowned tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Activate faith in the word brings God on the scene. Activating faith in the Word of God brings God on the scene. It brings his light to shine. Fear brings Satan on the scene. And we have to decide who we want to be found bringing on the scene, bringing into that snare jungle that we're trying to get through. It says, by the blessing of the unright, the city is exalted. It is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. So we see what the wicked can do in destruction, but the blessings that come out the mouth of the righteous will exalt a place. And that's a whole a city or a community or a neighborhood. So we have to take these words and put them in real time today. As they say, what's trending? So it's by the blessing of the unright is exalted. You know, and how many times you say this neighborhood is going downhill. This neighborhood is that we are cursing the neighborhood because we are speaking it, okay? You know, it's like the people need to do this and the people need to do that. No, declare that the people will do that because God says that as we bless the people, and most people curse the people. I don't know what this neighborhood is turning into. You don't know, but God knows the heart of every man, and the heart of every man is in the hand of the Lord. And we have to declare that. We have to put that seed in the atmosphere to change this jungle that we're going through. The words of the wicked are a lie in wait. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. What will deliver them? The mouth of the upright. Deliverance is as close as your mouth. The mouth contains the tongue that controls faith and or fear. Words produced after their kind. We need to understand this. When we start speaking what God said, the devil is going to sit up and take notice. God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do whatever, do according all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. So who's going to do it? We have always thought God was going to do it. But God says, if you will do my word, you have done it. And I'll see that it performs. You can see that. We pray, Father, you make this prosper. But I was not doing the word. God said, you do my word, and it will prosper, he said. You have made your way prosperous. And so what we see with that is not double talk, actually putting it back on us. You know, you say something, Uber, I say it back to you. You're telling God, fix it. God is saying, I told you to speak it. If you speak it, it will be fixed, okay? And when it is fixed, I will make sure that it is prosperous. And so it's our words that he's waiting for us to release in the earth realm. He already said, I've established it in heaven. Now I need you to establish it on earth. The man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Satisfied by good. It says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. What is truth? The word of God is true, and it showeth forth righteousness. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. Tongue of the wise is health. It is health. Now we need to get this one. That is powerful. He said there are people speaking, and it's just like jabbing a sword in you and cutting you and damaging you or damaging themselves. They are desiring something from God, but they are cutting themselves up spiritually by saying, oh, I'm so unworthy. I can't get my prayers answered. I don't know why the Lord won't heal me. These are people who are believers using their tongue to destroy their faith, using their God-given ability to hold themselves in bondage. That was such a powerful revelation for me. We hold our own self in bondage by the words that come out of our mouth. I realized there was an apostle who had an issue. I believe he had cancer, but he was saying how daily for, I don't know, a year or something, a long period of time, he just spoke the word of God, and he was healed. His righteous tongue brought healing to his physical body, and I believe that. I believe that as we apply the word of God faithfully and not, you know, I'm going to do this so he'll do that. I'm going to do this because it's true. I'm going to do this because he said for me to do it. I am going to do this because it is the right thing. It is the righteousness of what I should be doing. And so we have to get to a point where we use the word of God and not the word of this world, you know, to say I have this or I have that or I don't have money or whatever. I remember when I first came here to Chicago, my declaration was that sex, I think it was 1 Corinthians, something like that. But God will, you know, make all grace abound in me, will have all riches in all things. And so he told me that, and I came here on that. And the revelation of that was that any time I put my hand in my purse, I would have the money that I was looking for. That's what he said. That's what he said. I make all grace abound, that you will have all sufficiency in all things unto every good work. And that's the way it looked. And every time I did it, I said it, I believed it, I thought it, and it was there. And it wasn't, you know, I won't say physically in my purse, but it definitely was at my fingertips, under my control and my authority to do whatever it was that was going to be done. And so I know that as we decree it, as we speak it, as we believe it, as we stand on it, as we are unmoved by anything we see, that it will bring it to pass. I remember when I was buying a house and everything was just, you know, upside down and crazy. But I knew that that's what I was supposed to do. And it was taking so long till it was coming up to the time that I knew that I was going to retire. And so I had all these thoughts. I said, if they could just hurry up and approve it, you know, before I'm no longer employed because I'm retired. And naturally they didn't. And they drew it on and drew it on, drew it on. And it got to a certain point that they were ready to release the funds for the house, but they had to check on my employment. So naturally, the enemy told me all kinds of stupid stuff. And so I thought, well, I've been there a long time. I knew that if I called, you know, anybody in any position there, they would say it for me, and they wouldn't think it was no big deal. And they would love to do it for me. You know, I'd be happy to do it for you. And I knew that. I knew that. And it's like, that's such a simple thing. But I also knew, no, it is not a truthful thing. And the truth of God was more important to me. We were packed up. I mean, the whole bit. But at that point, it's just like, no. And so I didn't call them. I didn't say anything. I just prayed. I said, the Lord, you know, and I know he knows. The heart of the king is in your hands. Whatever you say and establish in my life, I will prosper. And they called and they said, no problem, here's your money. Now, to this day, I don't know who they talked to. I don't know who they call. And I wanted to call and see. I said, no, it happened because God made it happen. And that's it. And it's not man was nowhere in the picture in my spirit, but it was the spirit of the living God. And so we have to learn to trust. We have to learn to trust. And I am sure that, well, I'm not sure, but I do know that people will believe, well, that's no big deal. You could have just, you know, and it wasn't really a lie. You did kind of work there, and, you know, you still had another check coming, and, you know, no, I did not. You know, 30th was my last day. And on the 30th of June was my last day. And on the 18th was when of July they were checking to see if I had employment. And I did not. I did not have a hope for, you know, anything beyond June 30th. Okay. And yet the Lord released it. And so he will bring the righteous to a place of prosperity as well as health. So God bless you. Enjoy this March 1st. And we'll go into chapter 7. Chapter 7. Yes, the word of God's word. God's word is truth. All right. All right. God bless you. That's my dog.